Good afternoon, folks. Welcome to Third Street Promenade. As you can probably tell already, I do not represent the city of Santa Monica. My name is Tony. I'm here with my friend Vicky. We attend Faith Community Church up in the Santa Clarita Valley. And we're here with the prayerful support of our pastors and our elders and our church family. And we're down here today, and it probably seems obvious why we're here. We're here to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. The gospel, by definition, is good news. It is good news. But, my friends, before you can understand and appreciate the good news that we want to share with you, you do have to come to terms with some bad news first. And I want to start by asking you a question. Are you ready? Are you ready to stand before Almighty God one day and give an account for your life? The Word of God says it's appointed once for a person to die, and after that comes the judgment. 10 out of 10 people die. It is the ultimate statistic. It's not a scare tactic. It's simply a reality of the world that we live in. And my friends, whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not, we will stand before God, and we will give an account. And I ask you again, are you ready? Now, most people, in fact, the Bible even affirms this, most people will declare their own goodness. In fact, they see the day of judgment, if they believe in such a thing, as a day of trial, where they'll get to make a case before God as to whether or not they are good enough to enter into heaven. But my friends, the day of judgment is not a court date. It is a day of sentencing, because we all stand before God guilty. And my friends, God, who is holy and righteous and just, He is going to be faithful to His Word, faithful to His character, and He's going to judge each and every one of us according to the perfect moral standard of His law. Unlike some earthly judges, God cannot be bribed. God cannot be swayed by a good attorney's argument or by personalities. He's not arbitrary in His judgment. He will judge each and every one of us in equity. And He will judge each of us according to the same moral standard. And He has given us a synopsis, a summary of that holy standard in what most people refer to as the Ten Commandments. And I'd like to share just a few of those with you. And I would like you to not look in your bathroom mirror to declare your own goodness, but look into the mirror of God's law and answer these questions to yourself honestly as to whether or not you are innocent or guilty of breaking these laws. The first and foremost commandment is that you will have no other God but the one true God. That is the first commandment. If you worship any other God other than the God who has revealed Himself in creation and revealed Himself through the truth of His Word, you are worshiping a false God. You are worshiping another God, and therefore you're guilty of breaking God's law. The second commandment is like it. You will not make for yourself any graven images. You will not make for yourself any idols and bow down to worship them. Now, while there are religions all over the world that do just that, that will carve images out of stone and metal and rock and bow down to these inanimate objects created with human hands to worship them, the vast majority of people would look at that and maybe scoff and find that silly. But yet, there is a more common form of idolatry, which is particularly prevalent here in the Western world, even more so in the ancient Eastern world, and that's idolatry of the mind. That's when we take an image of God that we've created in our own mind, fashioned a God in our own imagination to suit ourselves so that we could be happy with that God. And oftentimes people will describe that God as my God. My God would never do this. My God would never do that. Most people who fashion these imaginary gods in their minds fashion gods in their minds who will applaud their sin, who will look at another person's sin as worse than their own. They believe that their God would never judge another human being, would not send anybody to hell. And when people describe gods that way, I agree with them. Not only can their God not send them to hell because He doesn't exist, that same God cannot save them for the very same reason. Their God does not exist. He's a figment of their imagination. And if you've created a God in your own mind to suit yourself, then you've broken God's second commandment, and that's the commandment against idolatry. God's third commandment is that you will not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. In fact, the Word of God says He will not leave him unpunished who has taken His name in vain. Blasphemy is when you take the name of God and you bring it down low as a filthy curse word or an expression of disgust or excitement. You do not speak reverently about God, whether you believe in Him or not. And the Word of God is true. The Word of God is serious. God will not leave him unpunished who takes His name in vain. One of God's commands is that you shall not murder. Now, most people who can hear the sound of my voice would probably say, well, at least I'm okay there. I've never murdered anybody. But are you aware that half the murders that are committed in the United States every year go unsolved? So there is actually a possibility that there are murderers among us. But there is even a more common form of murder than simply driving a knife through someone's back or clubbing them over the head with a brick or putting a bullet into their chest. The Word of God says whoever hates another person is a murderer. You see, my friends, God not only judges the condition of our heart or our actions, but He judges the conditions of our heart as well. If you so much as been angry without cause, harbored bitterness or resentment in your heart toward anyone, or even so much as hated somebody without ever doing anything about it, God sees you as one who has violated His sixth commandment, and that is the commandment against murder. One of God's commands is that you shall not commit adultery. Now, most people would define adultery as cheating on a spouse or a significant other. And while that is indeed adultery, Jesus took that a step further. Jesus said, whoever looked at another person to lust after them has already committed adultery with that person in their heart. So if you've ever looked at another human being other than a spouse, other than a husband or a wife, and you've looked at them and thought about them inappropriately, God sees you as an adulterer. One of God's commands is that you shall not steal. If you've ever stolen anything, regardless of the value, regardless of how long ago that took place, God sees you as a thief. You see, my friends, time does not forgive sin. If you steal $20 today and you go on to spend 20 years without stealing anything and you become a soccer mom or a soccer dad and a member of the PTA, you're still guilty of stealing that $20. One of God's commands is that you shall not tell a lie. Now you might think, well, certainly God is not going to judge for something as small as a lie. But consider this. If I were to lie to a small child, it would be wrong, but that child's not going to be able to punish me. If I go home and lie to my wife, I could end up sleeping on the couch. If I go to work on Monday and lie to my boss, I could end up losing my job. Go to a judge, stand before a judge in a courtroom and lie to him, and I could end up going to jail. It's still just a lie, but what has changed is who the offense is against. God is infinitely holy and righteous and just. Therefore, any sin against Him, no matter how small we've made it in our own mind, is infinitely sinful to an infinitely holy God. Now, you might hear that list of commandments and think, well, I might be guilty of one or two, but I'm not guilty of all of them. Well, one, you might be deceiving yourself by thinking that, but if you hold to that, that still will not help you in the end. Because the Word of God says whoever tries to keep the whole law, but yet stumbles in one point, is guilty of all of it. So maybe you're asking a question to yourself, a question that Jesus' disciples had asked Him. Well, then who can be saved? Jesus' answer was, well, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. My friends, if you want to get to heaven on your own, it really is very simple. All you have to do is live a perfect life from cradle to grave in thought, word, and deed. How are you doing today? Now, I know I have fallen short of that standard already today. In fact, the Word of God says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So what the law of God shows us is two things. One, we're utterly unable to keep it. And two, we need a Savior. See, my friends, Jesus said you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Now, granted, none of us can live up to that standard, but God does not lower that standard simply because we are unable to live up to it. God is holy and righteous and just, and therefore He must, being a good God, punish sin. Now, my friends, the punishment God has ascribed for sin, whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or not, is utterly irrelevant. But the punishment God has ascribed for sin, my friends, is eternity in hell. Now, and that's the bad news. And I'm not standing here in the middle of the street saying that to you because I want any of you to go there. In fact, I'm standing here saying this to you for the exact opposite reason. I don't want anybody to perish in their sin. I don't want anybody to spend eternity in hell. And the only thing I can do for you is to warn you about God's wrath to come and share with you the good news of how you can be saved from the penalty of your sins. Now, my friends, God is holy and righteous and just, and He will punish sin, but He is also loving and gracious and merciful and kind. And that God Almighty provided one way to escape His just and His holy wrath, And it wasn't by telling us that we have to go to church on Sunday, and it wasn't by telling us we have to be good people. It wasn't by telling us that we have to be religious, because there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. No, what God did was extraordinary. God provided Himself. 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent His Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Fully God and fully man and without sin. Unlike you, unlike me, unlike the rest of the world, He never once violated the law of God. He was and He is the perfect, sinless Lamb of God. He was born of a virgin, just as the prophets declared He would be 700 years before His birth. And He lived the perfect life in thought, word, and deed, perfectly moral and just life that we cannot hope to live. And about 30 to 33 years into that earthly existence, He voluntarily went to the cross. He suffered and died a horrible, bloody death He did not deserve, to take upon Himself the punishment we rightly deserve for our sins against God. And then 3 days later, He forever defeated sin and death when He rose from the grave. He is alive today, and He will return at a time of the Father's choosing. Now, when Jesus came the first time, He came and He said, "I did not come to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Me." He came in the most humble of circumstances, born to a poor family, born and laid in a feeding trough, lived a meager and humble existence His entire life. But my friends, when Jesus Christ returns, He will not return as a meek and mild lamb to be slaughtered. No, He will return as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to judge both the living and the dead. And so ferocious a day that will be, God Himself said that the blood of His enemies will drip from the hem of His spotless robe. My friends, what God requires of you is the same thing He requires of me and all people everywhere, and that's that we repent, that we turn from our sin, and not only turn over a new leaf and try to live a good life, because that will not exonerate us from the things we've done in the past, but turn away from our sin and turn toward God, and by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to them, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me." There is no religious system that can save you. There is no false God created by man that can save you. The only God who can save you is the only God who is alive, and the only God who took upon Himself the penalty for sin, and that is Jesus Christ. On that day on the cross, on that great and terrible day, a great exchange took place. God the Father made Him, God the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that through Him we might receive the righteousness of God. To put that more simply, what God did that day is that He looked at His perfect, precious, priceless Son as if He had lived our filthy, sinful lives. And in exchange for those who repent and believe the gospel, He looks upon them as if they lived His Son's precious and spotless and sinless life. And so God will allow you into heaven, not on the basis of deeds that you have done in righteousness, but based on His grace and His love and His mercy. And when you die and you stand before God, and each and every one of us will, if you turn from your sin and put your trust in Christ, instead of seeing you clothed only in the filthy rags of your unrighteousness, He will see you clothed in the perfect righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so He will allow you into heaven, not on the basis of anything you've done, but entirely on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done for you. And so my encouragement to you this day, my friends, is to repent, to turn from your sin, and by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And the promise is this: He will give you a new heart with new desires. You'll begin to love the things that God loves. You'll begin to hate the things that God hates. And when you sin against Him, instead of presuming upon His forgiveness because you consider yourself to be good, you will run to Him for grace and mercy and forgiveness, and be assured of that forgiveness because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. In fact, the Word of God says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The only way we can receive forgiveness is through Jesus Christ. The only way we can receive mercy and grace is through Jesus Christ. My friends, religion will not help you. Going to church on Sunday makes you no more right with God than going to Johnny Rockets makes you a hamburger. Millions of people go to church on Sunday and live like hypocrites Monday through Saturday, and God does not see that as faith. God sees that as living a lie. In fact, Jesus, when thinking about people like that, he said to them, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name and perform mighty miracles in your name and do many works in your name? And Jesus responded by saying, I will say to them on that day, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness. No, my friends, religion cannot save you. The only one who can save you is God himself. And he has provided the only way through Jesus Christ the Lord. So again, my encouragement, my plea to you this day is that you will repent, that you turn from your sin, and by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, while God has given you time. Now, undoubtedly, there are those who can hear my voice who vehemently disagree with what I'm saying. Some of you may nod your head in agreement. I would welcome any conversation with you. I can't argue anybody into heaven, nor would I try to. But if you have questions about what you heard, I would love to talk to you about it. There is nothing more important than the state of your soul. There is nothing more important than where you will spend eternity. The Word of God declares that life is nothing but a vapor. We are here today and quite literally gone tomorrow, but yet eternity lasts forever. And so the most important question, again, my friends, is, are you ready? Are you ready to stand before God and give an account? And you will only be ready if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Thank you for listening. Thank you.